30 years ago, Hubert Adams was born into this world, and now Adams Family Values is 30 years greater. That's right, it's 30 years greater. The post-show recaps and RHAP podcast, where we are going back 30 years into the past to talk about movies from the 1990s, currently 1993, currently Adams Family Values. And I am joined here by my podcast brother, Rob Sesternino.
Yes, old man. Good
Hello,
to see you.
Man. Good show, old man.
Yes.
More of
How
us should
you?
Be talking like Gomez Adams as portrayed by Raul Julia, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe not like the like getting acquitted for murders and stuff, but like just a lot of the mannerisms are
great.
Yeah.
Did he get acquitted for any murders?
He said acquitted when she said, oh, you murderer. Acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lady killer.
Yeah, well, it is spooky season, so this was a great time to check in with the 30-year anniversary of the acclaimed Adams Family Values.
Yeah. Yes. Very excited to talk this one through, as we talked about a little bit at the end of last week's podcast, A Bronx Tale. That Adams Family Values, it came out November 19th, 1993, about a full month past the point that we are podcasting about it. Why this wasn't out for like actual spooky season, Rob, is beyond me. Really, really don't understand why they missed the October window here.
Yeah, well, this film does have some Thanksgiving themes, so maybe they were going for that.
You think that that was the thing? They're like, oh, you know what? This
no,
will
the
really...
thing was the hand that ran
the
around.
The thing was the hand. The thing was the hand. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Yeah, there are big Thanksgiving vibes here in Adams Family Values, as we are going to be visiting Camp Chippewa and checking in with the Peter McNichol and Christine Baranski of it all.
But even the original 1991 Addams Family movie with the same cast that I also watched in preparation for this podcast also came out late November, November 22nd, 1991.
I guess like if it ain't broke, maybe it's like sort of back in, was it, because it doesn't feel like it's such a thing anymore that, you know, there was like this long tail for Halloween. Like the long tail for Halloween that I see is like the rotting pumpkins in my neighborhood that last until January or February.
Yes,
that's
and
about
sometimes,
it.
Yeah, and then on the stoop, there's like a long tail that gets left behind.
Someone's long tail got cut off, and it's just there forever.
No, I think it's probably just that they like, okay, holidays, it's like, hey, let's go to the movies, and maybe that's not a thing for, maybe for horror, but not for like, you know, kids horror.
I guess not, but okay, well, in November it worked for the 1990 Addams Family. It works here mostly for Addams Family Values. I think it doesn't perform quite as well as people want it to. It's got a $47 million budget, $111 million box office return. Cult classic, critically acclaimed Addams Family Values. People love this movie. This movie is very dear to me as well. Rob, I know you not only went and watched this one, but you went and watched its predecessor, The Addams Family, as well.
Yes. So I've loaded up.
You're like
up
loaded
on,
up.
On the two early 90s Addams Family films. So I'm ready to go. Locked and loaded here.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about everything Addams Family in just a second. Of course, this is 30 Years Greater. If you are not subscribed to this podcast, then perhaps what you are missing out on is the best podcast about movies from 1993 currently in existence. We are talking about everything from 1993, or at least everything that we've been able to talk about in 1993 on a weekly basis, going back to movies from that time. We will be going to 1994 next year. You want to be subscribed. Post-show recaps, 30 Years Greater is the way to do that. Subscribe. Leave a rating, leave a review. We would greatly appreciate hearing from you. This week, we are talking Addams Family Values, not just on the podcast, but on YouTube. If you want to check us out, postshowrecaps.com/YouTube for the video version. Neither of us dressed for the occasion. What's like the best Addams Family Halloween costume, do you think? Most attainable.
I think that
you'd be a great Gomez. You could Gomez it up.
But you know what? I feel like that it's kind of like Gomez looks different, I feel like, across all the different iterations of the Addams Family. Sometimes, like in the cartoons, he's kind of like
squat,
short and stout.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Raul Julia as Gomez, I mean, he had swag.
Debonair. Yeah, he had swag indeed. Rest in peace to the great Raul Julia, who this is his last feature film released before his passing.
Yeah.
He dies roughly a year later from a battle with stomach cancer. His last posthumous film, I believe, unfortunately, is Street Fighter. In which he plays M. Bison in Street Fighter. Bad way for anyone to have to leave their final mark on anything, but we'll talk about that more in December 2024, I think. A really celebrated New York actor, iconic Puerto Rican actor, and just tremendous as Gomez Adams. I think that you could rock the Gomez pretty well. I think Nicole could do a great Morticia Adams. I think the two of you could do an Adams Family theme if you really wanted to.
Okay, let me bring it up.
Yeah, your kids can. Who is your kid's favorite character? Are they Fester fans?
No, I don't know if they have a favorite character. Uh-huh. I feel like, you know, Wednesday is a big deal right now. So
sure, yeah.
Kind of the breakout from Adams Family here in 2023.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they have, like, a favorite Adams Family person.
Yeah. Do you think that there has to be, like, an Adams Family for all generations? Is that what this seems to be?
Does every generation need their own Adams Family?
Does every generation get their own? Whether or not they need it, does every generation get their own Adams Family, I guess, is the question.
Like I guess
30 years.
I guess that they do.
Like every 30 years or so, we get a new like iteration of the Addams Family.
A big iteration.
A big iteration.
A big hairy iteration.
Uh huh. That's right. They originally debut in the 1930s, the Addams Family.
Oh.
Then there's the TV adaptation in the 1960s. Then there's this duology of films in the 1990s, and 30 years greater, there's Wednesday on Netflix. So
and it's also the animated films
maybe they're awesome. I have no idea.
Is that you? They don't appeal to you, or like somebody? One of the main characters was canceled.
If a main character is canceled, I'm unaware. And it's not even that it's not for me. I think I feel fiercely protective over my two 1990s Addams Family movies, and I recognize that for some people, I have no right to feel that way because I've almost zero affiliation with the original iteration of the Addams Family. I can like envision like the opening thing that I've got. Other than that, for me, Addams Family is these two Barry Sonnenfeld directed movies. Did you watch Addams Family as a kid at all?
The original,
the shows,
not really. Yeah. I was my dad was much more of a Munsters guy.
Yeah.
So
why haven't they been able to do the Munsters right?
To reboot the Munsters.
What's the secret sauce?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cranberry.
Yeah, I mean the Rob Zombie Munsters film. Did you watch the Rob Zombie
the Netflix one with Hurley?
Yeah. Did you watch that?
No. Okay. Couldn't
I mean, it was definitely an interesting take on it. They did do like a Munsters like syndicated reboot, but I don't know the right way to reboot the Munsters.
Yeah. I think like the way like you're a Coke or Pepsi person, I feel like you're an Adams or you're a Munster. Don't you think? Like, is there space? Like you're a Marvel or you're a DC? You're an Apple or the other guy? You are an Adams or you are a Munster. I don't know that you can be both. Can you be both? I think
I'm
at
sure
some point in every person's life, you have to make a choice. I think you have to decide whether or not you stand with the Adams Family or the Munster family.
Yeah.
Seems like Logan Roy was more of a Munsters guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what the differences are. I feel like that they're subtle, but maybe, you know, I feel like that maybe that the Addams Family had like a little bit more of a focus on like the young people in terms of like Pugsley and Wednesday were more relatable than say like nobody is really relating to Eddie Munster.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you don't want to be related to Eddie Munster.
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah. Eddie Munster, I don't know if anybody really cared about him.
No. No one really cares about Pugsley either, unfortunately, though, I do think. I think people really care about Wednesday, but Pugsley gets left behind. Pugsley has yet to have, like, a big breakout anything. We'll see. Pugsley is a real secret star of the show for me here in Addams Family Values, though. Okay, so going back and watching the Addams Family 1991 film Into Addams Family Values, you did this with your sons, was the experience here?
Yeah, we watched the first Addams Family, and say, I feel like that Addams Family Values did not hold their interest as much.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. They were an Addams Family One family.
Yeah, they really enjoyed the 1991 original Addams Family film.
Yeah.
But this one, I feel like that they did not care for as much. And just spoiler alert, you know, I felt the same way. I know that you love the Family Values.
Yes.
I really thought that the 1991 Addams Family movie was really, really fun and well done.
Yeah.
I thought that this one was a little bit more all over the place.
Well, this one is definitely darker, is my memory of it. Like in Addams Family Values, and I think like sometimes I forget about how dark this movie can get. Of course, like everything that happens with Debbie, that's Deborah, is relatively dark. And the fact that they like burn a summer camp down to the ground is pretty dark. But like all of the gags are actually quite sinister. Like she's going to let what's her name? What's the name of the kid who plays Sarah Miller, the girl at camp? She's going to like let her drown during like the swimming lesson. They're going to shoot an American bald eagle out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The poor birthday cake girl is cooked alive inside of a birthday cake, and they just kind of move on with their lives. It's
honestly all that stuff is really great.
Yes.
Like I think that the whole like B story of Wednesday and Pugsley at summer camp is very fun. And really like there's some very sharp jokes across both of the films. I just feel like the Joan Cusack storyline of being the woman who's trying to steal Fester's money, Black Widow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the Joan Cusack storyline, I feel like, just
you don't
didn't
like
do
it
for me.
Yeah, I love Joan Cusack as Debbie. So I think that this has to just be like it either works for you or it doesn't. I think that the story probably could use some work, but I think the performance of Joan Cusack as Debbie, she just has a couple of moments in here that are etched into my brain for all of time and half in every
right.
Since I saw this the first time.
Yeah, I'm not saying like, okay, another actress in the role of Debbie could have really like
no,
Joan Cusack does, you know, a great job, has like great moments in the movie. I just that the plot line, I want my like it's the Addams Family. I want them all together. I want to see them all like in one place interacting.
Now, but in the original 1991 Addams Family, isn't the whole thing that Fester is like not part of the family? That Fester. So let's do like the very quick recap of the first one for me, if that for no other reason. He's like in the like it's Addams Family shenanigans. Addams Family is doing their thing. They haven't heard from Fester in forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, he's missing.
He was in like the Bermuda Triangle or something like that. Is that right? Am I making that up?
So, yeah, I don't know exactly it's a little convoluted, the storyline. Fester is missing. That's Gomez's brother. He hasn't seen him. And then there is like a lawyer who is like trying to get access to the Addams Family safe, which
is this the Dan Hedaya character?
I believe so.
Yes.
And so that they happen to run into a guy who looks exactly like Fester, Christopher Lloyd, and that he has been raised by this other woman. And that what they're going to do is then shave his head and then have him masquerade as a imposter Fester to go back to the house so that they could gain the favor of the Addams and then also get access to this safe. So
right.
That they can steal all the Addams Family money. What plot twist, what really what we find out by the end of the film is that it really was the authentic Fester the entire time. He had gotten amnesia.
Yeah, he was in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
He was in the Bermuda Triangle, and then he got discovered and turned into Gordon, and then was set on he was unleashed upon the Addams Family to run a con.
He was like really this feels good.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because probably like somewhere like in like the marrow of your bones, if you are an Addams, like you are just exactly that. And probably don't feel quite at home.
He knew how to do the mamushka.
Right, the mamushka. Okay, so I guess going from the original Addams Family of 1991 into Addams Family Values, there's probably like some elements that feel like iterative, right? Like there's like the whole dance scene at the restaurant with Gomez and Morticia in Addams Family Values. Does that just feel like we're doing the mamushka again in some way?
Yeah, I think that if you're making one of these 1990s Addams Family movies, you need a big dance number.
Yeah. I guess maybe that's just par for the course with an Addams Family property, considering the infamous the Wednesday dance. The Jenna Ortega has COVID and does like a crazy, scary, spooky zombie dance that I can't watch. I can't watch that.
Right. Well, Josh, this is the thing about the Addams Family. Yeah. They do what they want to do.
Yeah.
They say what they want to say.
Uh-huh.
They live how they want to live.
Yeah.
They play how they want to play.
Yeah.
They dance how they want to dance.
Yeah. Yeah. They do.
And slap a friend.
Mm-hmm. That's not good to do.
The Addams Family.
Yeah. Whoop. There it is. Do we like the Addams Family theme songs for these movies?
You know, honestly, I feel like that they
Addams
did
Groove
not,
by they MC Hammer.
Yeah, Addams Groove from the 1991's Addams Family.
Yeah.
MC Hammer at the height of his powers.
He really at the height of his powers. Absolutely. Yeah.
They really do not do a lot with the Addams Family theme song in either of these two films. They subtly like give it to you, but there is not like I feel like if you were going to. You know, if we're going to like remake Addams Family, I feel like, all right, we got a big theme song. Got to get that.
Yeah. But no, instead they distanced themselves from it. It feels like, it's as if like they felt like the theme song itself was canceled and that they needed to like disavow the theme song when the theme song probably you're right is like, I think that until maybe Wednesday, the Netflix show, I think that maybe the Addams Family theme song was more iconic than any single one member of the Addams Family.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe, I don't know if there was like any sort of like issues with like, was this an adaptation of the comics and not the TV show?
I don't know. I have no idea. But it is, and maybe this helps like sort of like clarify the vision of these movies. So Barry Sonnenfeld is the director, and he is a person that should this podcast survive deep into the 90s, we will talk about a bunch of his movies. Men in Black, he's the Men in Black creator. Wild Wild West, like this is a guy who has like a fairly specific style. And I feel like you can see the building blocks towards that in the Addams Family movies of like there is something to like Barry Sonnenfeld's interest in like if not like crazy aliens and like crazy freaky deaky costume heavy character types. So there's like a lot of leaning into that. And also I think like leaning into just sort of this bleak aura of the movie while also trying to make extremely 90s references, which for me works, but might not be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, I feel like that there's more like specific 90s references here in the Addams Family Values than there were in the original Addams Family.
Right. The title itself apparently taking from Dan Quayle's infamous Family Values gaffe talking about the LA riots. Like, this is what we're naming Addams Family Values after. I always thought that the name probably could have used a little bit of workshopping, but I never thought about it too hard. Addams Family Values, is that just like a too weird of a name to market?
Yeah, I think that they were going for that there was going to be a baby in this one. Yeah, and so we were adding in a character. So, yeah, I think that, I mean, there's references in the film to other like early 90s things like Amy Fisher gets a joke here in Adam's Family Values.
Pugsley has a point, serial killer card.
There's a point where that they are horrified. They see a picture of what a 1993 Michael Jackson looks like and are horrified. So, you know, I think we were going for some very like timely jokes here on Adam's Family Values.
Yeah, for me, definitely Adam's Family Values is like 30 years the same, but it's inarguable that it is like really contingent on a lot of 90s humor. And so Adam's Family Values probably hit the hardest when it came out. You know, it hits a little softer as we move on through the years. I think Austin Powers is actually really similar in that way. Emily and I went back and watched Austin Powers recently. It was like, I don't know who's watching this today for the first time and understanding anything that's going on.
In like 4 years.
I know. It's going to be a while, but we'll get there for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk through some more Adam's Family Values. The basic gist of the plot is they have a new member of the family. Baby Pubert gets farted into the world. Very suddenly, Morticia, I'm having a baby right now. And the whole opening sequence is the arrival of he's not a boy. He's not a girl. He's an Adams.
It's an Adams.
Baby Pubert is an icon from my childhood. Baby Pubert, star of the show. Thoughts on Baby Pubert?
Good baby.
Good baby.
Mini Gomez. I like the mustache.
Yeah.
He's very cute. He survives multiple assassination attempts throughout the film.
Some impressive ones, too. Like, there's a whole point where where Wednesday and Pugsley really don't like that Baby Pubert is here, and there is an urban legend that they have to, one of the children has to die. Because there's a new child in the house. So they conspire many different ways to kill Baby Pubert. And they like try to behead him with a guillotine. And Baby Pubert just like catches it with his tiny little Baby Pubert fingers.
Yeah.
And superhuman strength, Baby Pubert.
Superhuman strength. Yeah. He's a little bit of like a baby Jack-Jack in that he has, you know, some superhuman abilities.
Do you think Jack-Jack was inspired, the character of Jack-Jack was inspired by Baby Pubert?
See, I don't know if Baby Pubert exists in any other Adams like incarnations.
I don't know. I think that Baby Pubert might be just relegated to the 90s. This feels like a mistake. I feel like Baby Pubert was a spin-offable character. I think we could do a full Adams Family reboot now with Baby Pubert as young adult Pubert
starting
a family of his own.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe put that in for ChatGPT later.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would say that sometimes they argue that things jump the shark when they add a baby. Like, you feel like that the Addams Family jumped the shark with the addition of Baby Pubert.
Well, I think maybe, but I think that that's exactly where they like to live, this version.
They like to jump the shark.
Yeah. You know, they would like, they would have some sort of like extended sequence of like getting ready to jump the shark. And then like Lurch would probably end up being like eaten by the shark and would like get like expelled from the shark and would just go... And that would be all that happens. And then, like, we would move on to the next thing. It's very slapsticky, Adam's Family Values. Are you saying that at the Adam's Family has more of, like, a coherent story than Adam's Family Values that's a little bit more, like, bits strung together?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that the script for the 1991 Adam's Family, I think, is just a bit tighter. And I think that... The 93 Adam's Family Values is a little bit of like, okay, let's get from, you know, bounce around from from bit to bit.
Yeah. Do you think that it's tighter because there's more?
It's not too legit to quit.
Is it tighter because there's more Cousin It in the first of these two movies and there's so much hair with which to like tie things tighter? Cousin It's really only in a cameo capacity in Adam's Family Values, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that it has a large role in the 1991 Adam's Family. Yeah.
Bigger, you know, for sure.
Yeah, he really shows up like two-thirds of the way through the movie as like they have a big party. shows up there.
Doesn't it like sweep someone off their feet, like someone unlikely?
Yeah, the woman that he's married to in this movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and she, what was her deal in the first one?
I think she was that lawyer's wife.
Got it. Yes, right. Yes, that sounds correct. That sounds correct. Yeah, I like Cousin It. Cousin It's whole vibe, I feel like, is good. Do you think I could rock the Cousin It?
I mean, I don't see how you couldn't.
Yeah, most people could. Sort of like, do you think it's kind of like a proto Sia?
Oh, do you think that Cousin It is shy?
Cousin Sia. I think like Sia just is like sort of like the Cousin It, but yeah, like shorter.
Interesting. You know, they're, I think that's in the theme song, right? Their house is a museum. There is a Cousin Sia.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, Baby Pubert exists. We're trying to kill Baby Pubert. We need somebody to come and take care of Baby Pubert. A litany of potential nannies get brought in. This was the first time I recognized Cynthia Nixon as one of the potential nannies. So Miranda is almost brought into the Addams Family, which would have been something else. Instead, it goes to Debbie Jelinski.
Just like that.
And just like that, Joan Cusack as Debbie Jelinski shows up. She is secretly a serial killer called the Black Widow, no relation to the Marvel Comics character of the same name. She ingratiates herself with the Adamses very quickly. She like has a very sexual interaction with Thing and destabilizes Thing pretty quickly. But she's really after Fester. Fester's millions. Turns out that Fester is like one of the world's most eligible multi-billionaire bachelors, Rob.
Yeah, so
is this a holdover from the first one?
So that the Addams Family has a safe in the first movie, and in the safe, the Addams Family does have some riches. I think it's unclear really how the Addams Family has made their money. Gomez does not seem to be employed. I'm imagining that there's some kind of like old money situation going on here. But do you have any knowledge of how does the Addams Family have so much money?
So in the original TV show, my understanding is that Gomez was a lawyer. And that's part of why when they talk about what Baby Pubert might grow up to become, and it's horrifying to consider that he could be a lawyer. That's like part of the joke. I don't know what he is in this, like some sort of like tycoon of industry, but what's the industry? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I like to imagine like he was on like some sort of Goonies-esque swashbuckling adventure and he got One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff and kept it. I feel like some sort of like Addams Family prequel that explains the enormous wealth. But Fester has so much money, and Debbie targets Fester as somebody who she can take on and take under her wing and then kill in the night. Mm-hmm. She is successfully able to seduce Fester in no small part because there's only two members and really just the one member of the Addams Family that is on to Debbie immediately. And that is Wednesday, Christina Ricci as Wednesday, who's an icon. Forever my Wednesday, Christina Ricci. And she is on to Debbie, and Debbie's on to Wednesday. So Debbie gets Wednesday and Pugsley sent to Camp Chippewa, a summer camp for like uppity, hoity-toity, super wealthy white rich people. Where the Adamses just do not fit in at all.
Well, yeah, this is an element that I did not recall here in the Addams Family Values. It's a camp for privileged youth where they learn about their privilege.
Yes, right. They're allegedly that's what they are there for. And we've got a great cast of characters that shows up in this storyline. Amanda Buckman is the name of the kid who ends up playing especially Sarah Miller. We've got the great David Krumholtz, who is an actor who you would recognize from a million things these days, as Joel Glicker, the nerdy love interest of Wednesday. And then there is my favorite, Peter McNichol as Gary Granger and Christine Baranski as Becky Martin Granger. And they're just two very chipper Chippewa camp directors. Yeah. who are secretly terrible individuals, and they're fantastic.
And Peter McNichol, I feel like, was the wormy guy in every season of 24. Is that right?
Yes, he was in like one season of 24, I think.
But there's a Peter McNichol type in every season of 24.
There's a Peter McNichol type in every season of 24. Like, it's like Mike Novak and then like a couple of other people, and then Peter McNichol gets his shot at the Mike Novak seat.
He's good. He's here in comedy, and I feel like that's not always his bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, 24 episodes of 24, appropriately enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah, made it through a full day. That's great. We love to see a full day. So they're going to go and they're going to try really hard to like get Wednesday and Pugsley on board. But Wednesday and Pugsley are sticking out like a sore thumb. They're killing bald eagles. They're attempting to drown their bunkmates. They are not doing well when they're put in like the, what's the name of the shed? There's like the little like shack that they have to go in, like the happy shack that they have to go in, where they're basically being like brainwashed into being like good kids. And they have to watch the Brady Bunch. They have to watch Danny.
Yeah. The Harmony Hut.
The Harmony Hut. Should we have a Harmony Hut in 2023? Probably not.
I think that's I would love the Harmony Hut. I mean, you go in it and you watch TV.
Aren't you kind of just living in the Harmony Hut?
Yeah, but I feel like that I don't have to take notes so much on what I'm watching.
Okay. Yeah, so that's not so bad. So they go to the Harmony Huts. They befriend Joel Glicker. They're very worried about Uncle Fester because Fester has gotten married in a hurry, and they need to get out of there in a hurry as well in order to save their family. But first, they have to survive a play about Thanksgiving, Gary's Thanksgiving play. You had no memories of Gary's Thanksgiving play, I would guess.
No, I not really. It was starting to come back to me as I was watching. But we have like a little bit of like a, Django Unchained Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's a full uprising against Gary's Thanksgiving. Gary's Thanksgiving has some catchy music to it. Eat me. Sauteed or barbecued. Go and read the lyrics to the Thanksgiving play theme song and have a real good time with that. There's a lot in there. And Pugsley is the Thanksgiving turkey. I am a turkey. Kill me. What a thoughtful gift. And Christina Ricci has presented as being brainwashed to the point of being on board of playing Pocahontas, but it's all a ruse. It's a ploy. We will not break bread with you. She says that that her people will be living in motorhomes while the pilgrims will have stick shifts. The pilgrims cannot be trusted, especially Sarah Miller. And Wednesday leads a rebellion that seemingly ends in the literal massacre of Camp Chippewa.
Yeah.
They would commit outright murder here, it seems like.
It seems like it's going in that direction. There are camp counselors that are sort of like tied to a rotisserie.
Yeah. Amanda Buckner makes it out alive. She has a confirmed appearance on an airplane flight home when baby Pubert gets launched into the stratosphere. So at least Sarah Miller escaped. But there's like actual like violence and mayhem that is waged here. Did your kids enjoy the rampage of Camp Chippewa?
Honestly, Josh, they didn't make it that far. Oh, Adam's Family Values.
Man, big whiffs.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do? Did you like the Camp Chippewa massacre?
I thought it was fun. Yeah,
yeah. I'll tell you, as a kid in 1993, this is the funniest thing in the history of anything. It was funny.
Yeah. Well, what was the rating for Adam's Family Values?
I
think it was PG-13.
Yeah, I think it's a PG-13.
Yeah, because I really was surprised a couple of the I don't know, the original film. I'm not sure if it was a PG-13 as well.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a couple of like sexually suggestive lines in the movie where I feel like the best line in the first Adam's Family is that where we have young girl, Sarah Miller, who, I mean, I think she comes back for this because it was such an iconic moment in the first movie where that she is like, we're seeing where the Addams Family has no money. They sort of like are living out of a motel.
Yes.
And so Pugsley and Wednesday have a lemonade stand.
Yes.
And then that they're saying, hey, we're selling lemonade. And the girl, Sarah Miller, asks like, oh, is that lemonade made from real lemons? Mm-hmm. And then in turn, she was a Girl Scout. And she says that, well, she's actually fundraising. She's selling Girl Scout cookies. And Wednesday asks, oh, are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Oh, sick burn.
Yeah.
Do we think it's the same character?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely the same actress.
Right. Do you think again that she goes on to like, you know, like she's like purged any memories of Wednesday Addams from her brain by the time she encounters her?
She does not seem to know them. She does not seem to recall this interaction here in Addams Family Values.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Amanda Buckman wouldn't remember Wednesday Addams. She's very self-involved. I think she will never forget her after Camp Chippewa.
Yeah.
Think that's
it's a great moment. I feel like that's really the Addams Family, like at its core, and when it's firing on all cylinders. I feel like when there are people that are from the normal quote unquote world interacting with them, like when they get them out of the house, I feel like that's when I feel like that the Addams Family is at its best.
So we are going to get the kids out of Camp Chippewa, but meanwhile, adjacent to all of this is Debbie and Fester are going to go and get married. They go to Hawaii. Debbie's whole plan is to murder Fester on the honeymoon, but Fester's unkillable, Rob. Is he like actually like invincible, do we think? There does seem to be a superhuman strength that courses through the veins of the Adamses.
Yeah, I feel like that they are almost unkillable where, I don't know, it's not really explored, but, you know, in the first movie, you know, Fester survives the dramatic hurricane at the end of the movie, which causes him to, like, be able to put a light bulb in his mouth and then light that up. You know, so I feel like that to kill Fester with electricity is probably not the way to go.
That's like giving him like 20 more years of life. Like you're just like supercharging Fester.
Yeah. How he survives the bomb explosion at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That also, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Debbie will continue her assassination attempts against Fester. For a time, she will just tolerate his existence as she wields his money and cuts him off from the rest of his family. Mm-hmm. The Adamses are going to try and win Fester back, but he says, go away. He's not allowed to talk to them. He has like a great little wig. I'm on wig watch in this movie and they almost got me, Rob. Mm-hmm. I almost thought that was Christopher Lloyd's head, that little like, you know, ginger bob that he's got going.
Yeah, he's look at that bob.
Like his huge shoulder pads.
You know, Christopher Lloyd also is like such a master of disguise.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, that he is so talented that he's in all these different movies and like unrecognizable from movie to movie. You know, of course, like we all know him from Back to the Future, but like he plays like a Klingon in Star Trek III. He's like unrecognizable here as Fester. Like he'll go into hours and hours of makeup.
He will. This is sort of his thing, I guess. Like him and Carol Kane, who plays Grandmama Adams, but this is a recast. I guess like I had Mandela affected myself into thinking that she was just Grandmama in the first movie as well.
Oh, it wasn't Carol Kane?
No, they changed her in between. And Carol Kane is like even younger than Angelica Houston, which is kind of funny. And so I don't know, like Christopher
Scalgetti situation.
Christopher Lloyd in costume and makeup is a good look. I feel like his Fester is I think his Fester is really the beating heart of these two Addams Family movies.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of my kids were asking me, Dad, who's the main character of the movie? And I couldn't really tell them on the first movie, but I do think that Fester is the main character of Addams Family Values.
I think certainly. You don't think he is of the first one, though?
I don't know, because he doesn't even come into it until a little bit later on. You know, I do think that maybe it's probably more Gomez.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You've seen it more recently than me.
I don't know. I would say that it's more of an ensemble.
Yes, more of an ensemble. Fester's final thing is he's almost going to be exploded by Debbie. He survives the explosion, meatloaf in hand, and then is saved by a hand when Debbie makes it more clear that she intends to shoot him dead, kill him. She wants mm-hmm. him dead. She aims the gun at Fester and unloads upon him, not with the gun, but with insults. And then Thing has shown up to save Fester because happening alongside all of this is poor baby Pubert has sprouted a beautiful head of golden curly locks. This vibe of baby Pubert is seared into my memory as well. This cherubic, angelic baby Pubert.
Angelica Houston.
And Gomez is going to explode as a result. And so Thing has to go and save Fester, and it's at the exact right time. And Fester comes home to help Gomez. I am an Adams! Fester! he's going to get him that way. Meanwhile, Debbie's going to pursue in a car chase. And this car chase is seared into my memory as well for Joan Cusack's line read of, move it! Move out of the way! As she's driving after Fester. And eventually, she is going to capture all of the Adamses.
And
that's one of them.
And I feel like that this was kind of like happens off screen.
Yes.
Where she's able to tie down every member of the Adams family into electric chairs, which she did not bring with her. Does the Adams family have like an electric chair set for nine?
Yeah.
I mean, even Lurch.
Just in case.
There's a special electric chair for Thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, so it could be a couple of things. It could be a just in case. I think it could be a just in case situation. Mm-hmm. I think it could also be, if they're all similar to Fester, that this could be like the thing that superpowers them. That it's possible that the electric chairs are the things that they draw their power sources from, Rob. This is like sort of like how the gods of Olympus continue to thrive.
Right. Do you think that Fester would have died on the electric chair?
Yes. No, I don't think so. And we'll never find out because baby Pubert is able to assassinate Joan Cusack first.
Yeah, but the baby is able to escape the electric chair.
She flips the switch. They all go, and they just like roar with power coursing through their veins and their muscles pulsate and they rip themselves out of the bindings and they're able to overpower Joan Cusack, I think, is an alternate ending.
Yeah. Did she have them like at gunpoint? How did they get them all into the electric chair?
I think that maybe they were like, great. Mm-hmm. Take us to the electric chair. I mean, when she says, wish me luck, they very flatly reply, good luck. Because like they know what's coming next is flip that switch.
Yeah.
Watch what happens, Deborah. Mm-hmm. See what happens when you flip the switch. Because then we're going to flip the switch on you.
Yeah, I'm surprised that like they didn't ultimately like win her over in terms of like, okay, here she is, a homicidal maniac. Yeah. I mean, I do feel like that seems like that would fit in with the whole Adams family values.
Yes.
But she never did really fit in culturally with them.
No, definitely didn't. But I think that there was a world where she could have worked her way in. I think if she had been cards up of, so I'm a murderer.
She was credit cards up.
She was credit cards down by the end of it. But if she'd been credit cards up about the fact like, okay, so listen, so I've killed a bunch of people. And like, I'm thinking about killing Fester. I think that they all would have been like, oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Well, come on in. Like even deeper into the sanctum. Can we pull you up an electric chair?
Yeah, we got a live one. Okay.
Yeah, they would have liked it, I think.
Yeah.
I think they would have liked it. I think they're also riveted by the story of her various murders, including the iconic, do you know what they got me? Malibu Barbie. That's not what I wanted. That's not who I was. I was a ballerina. Graceful, delicate. They had to go. Terrific stuff.
Yeah.
Really like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, it's interesting that she rejects Malibu Barbie, but like was ultimately like very like materialistic. Did her parents turn her into this person?
I think maybe. I think so. I think that was like her breaking point.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like that the Adams family, while they are wealthy, that they are not so much concerned with material possessions.
Yes, I don't think so.
They're more about experiences than possessions.
Yes, I think that that's correct.
Debbie, love, she wants her
but they're
things.
Allowed to, they can say that because they not have thing. So many possessions. Yeah, they have so many possessions to begin with. So Pubert goes on like some sort of Pubert really goes on one. Baby Pubert, with the arrival of Fester, he gets like Gomez to back up. He has his little Gomez mustache. He's back in his pure form. He like rides a roller skate down the stairs. He gets catapulted up into the sky. He waves at Amanda and her family in the airplane. And then he comes back down and he puts the cables together that electrocutes Debbie, and she turns into a pile of dust, and everyone gleefully watches that happen.
Does Baby Pubert have any agency in this? Did he know what he was doing, or was this a happy accident?
I want to believe that Baby Pubert is either like supernaturally gifted at self-defense and like sort of just like intrinsically doing that, or he's like a lot more aware than we give him credit for. Like the way, like, I think you don't have to look much further than the guillotine. You know, he catches the guillotine in midair. Yeah,
that's true. But you know, the circumstances that allowed him to do this, where, you know, the bowling ball comes down the stairs, he's riding around, the bowling ball would have to be in the exact right point to like catapult him all the way into the air to come back down.
Yes.
Like, it just seems like if he could do these things, it seems like that there was maybe a more direct way he could have thwarted Debbie.
Probably, but he is, for all of his gifts, still a baby with a baby body. And I think his baby body can only get down to the kill site so quickly.
Mm.
So, you know, I do really think that the Adamses would have been fine. I think she flips the switch and they're just like supercharged and they get up and it's done. Like, she's toast. Like, she probably is lucky that it goes the way that it goes. Once she turns a gun on them, I think, you know, it's lights out for Debbie at that point. Then it's basically lights out for the movie. There's a little epilogue. Fester finds what's the name?
Dementia.
Dementia. It means insanity. So he's gonna have a happy ending, and then Joel gets to come over, and he gets a hand emerges from the ground to like grab and kill him. Is that just thing? Is it just thing that's coming in?
You know, unclear. Unclear. Yeah. It's unexplained. Yeah. Because Wednesday said that if she like. was to meet a guy that was like head over heels for her, she would pity him.
Yes.
And then she would try to scare him to death.
Yes.
And that's what she does here.
Yes. So she tries to scare him to death. And it seems like it works. And whoop, the Addams Family. There it is.
Yeah.
That's the movie. That's Addams Family Values.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite parts that really...
The very best stuff for me is Debbie's little Debbie-isms that I think we've talked about a decent amount. I really... I guess one scene that we... I love the Camp Chippewa stuff. Everything Camp Chippewa kills me. I really, for whatever reason, love Tony Shalhoub and the other sailors at the bar with Debbie when she's celebrating, thinking Fester is exploded and they can't stop singing Macho Man to people. That always gets me for whatever reason. I think that's pretty good. The Nathan Lane scene where Gomez says, "But until today, I have never seen you." Very funny. I love Gomez. I wish that we lived in a world where we had like a million more of these movies with Raul Julia as Gomez. I think that he is such a treasure. I think he's such a treasure in this role.
Say that he was starting to like be diminished physically, like during the making of this film.
Yes.
And so that I think that might have also like held back some of the things that they could have done with him.
Yes, I agree. So it's sad, but it was great to have him in this role while we had him, and I choose to remember him this way and not as M. Bison in the Street Fighter movie.
He ate it up.
We will assuredly talk about. He sure did. So Rob, should we try and figure out a ChatGPT sequel to Addams Family Values?
Yeah.
How do we want to do this? Is it the Baby Pubert young Pubert?
What I asked for from our friends over at ChatGPT. Okay.
Yes.
We wanted a Addams Family movie. That can you write the plot for a sequel to 1993's Addams Family Values that centers around the life of the now adult character of Pubert.
Pubert Adams. Yes. Okay.
And this movie is called Adam's Family Legacy.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Well, now we're talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. All right. So Pubert Adams is now in his early 30s, is a renowned eccentric inventor, merging the macabre aesthetics of his family with innovative technology. But despite his success, he feels disconnected from his family's legacy, often overshadowed by the tales of his older siblings, Wednesday and Pugsley.
People were talking about Pugsley. Okay.
Yeah. So when Gomez and Morticia decide to take a prolonged second honeymoon, they leave the mansions and its responsibilities to Pubert. They also drop a cryptic hint about a hidden Adams treasure that's been lost for generations, believed to be somewhere in the mansion's walls. Meanwhile, the rapidly developing town sees the Adams mansion as a prime spot for a new shopping mall.
Oh.
The city council, led by a greedy developer named Harlan Grift, serves an eviction notice citing the various bylaws and plans.
Okay.
Okay. So while juggling the pressures of the town, Pubert connects with his siblings, Wednesday, and the now sharp-witted investigative journalist. Wednesday is now a sharp-witted investigative journalist. And Pugsley, a mischievous demolition expert now. That's his job as an adult.
That sounds right. That tracks, yes.
They discover clues about the hidden treasure, and they also devise clever and humorous traps to delay the city's efforts to claim the mansion.
Okay.
And as they work together, Pubert learns more about his family history. Now, Harlan Grift grows impatient and decides to take matters into his own hands. He breaks into the mansion. He falls for each trap. So it's got a little bit of a Home Alone vibe.
Yes.
Adam's Family Legacy. Yes,
except that he's an adult and so very much could go to extreme amounts of prison for any tactics against bandits, wet or sticky.
The siblings finally locate the lost treasure, a collection of memories, letters, and artifacts from past Adams generations. They realize that the true treasure is their rich family history and the lessons that they've inherited. Using the artifacts and the evidence from the past, alongside Wednesday's journalistic skills, they expose Harlan Grift's corrupt administration. The city council retracts the eviction notice, and the Adams family home is saved.
Okay.
And the film concludes with a grand Adams family reunion where relatives from all corners of the world, living and dead, come together. Pubert finally feels connected to his legacy and introduces a new invention that perfectly captures the essence of the Adams family for future generations. Pretty good.
Does it say what the invention is?
I mean, let me ask. Yeah. What is Pubert's invention?
Yeah, we're going to need some additional details.
In Act 3. Okay.
Okay.
So it's called the Legacy Loom, and it's a beautifully intricate, almost steampunk style machine.
Okay.
Inspired by the aesthetics of an old weaving loom. Rather than weaving fabric, the loom intertwines memories, emotions, and tangible items.
Whoa, is that what Jacob was using on Lost? Is that what his loom was? Was some sort of like memory emotion spinning device?
Mm-hmm.
New theory. Yeah. Gotta get Mike Bloom on the line.
But I gotta be honest, of all of the ChatGPT sequels that this is not the worst.
What was the worst one? Was it the Free Willy in cyberspace?
Yeah, they're all the same. It's like hackers and cryptocurrency.
ChatGPT is learning drones. ChatGPT is learning that write what you know doesn't have to be taken quite so literally.
Yeah, and maybe because there's so much rich canon about the Addams Family, maybe this is a pretty workable Addams Family story.
Sure. All right, well, that's the Addams Family Values. I loved rewatching it. I think for me, the real pro is that you went back and watched the first one.
Yeah, both of these movies are on Paramount Plus, so very accessible.
I got to go and watch the first one now. Now I feel nostalgic for the one I never check out.
It's the first one, I would say, especially is very watchable.
Yeah.
I think it really does hold up. There was not very many things that were that's very dated.
Yeah.
Because the Addams Family is kind of timeless, I think it all still plays. The one thing that maybe is a little out of date is that the Addams Family is kicked out of their home and Gomez is watching Sally Jesse Raphael on television and calling in to ask where all of the like psycho cult meetup is happening. Uh-huh. And Sally Jesse Raphael is like, Mr. Adams, I told you, please stop calling. But it's really fun. The dynamic between Gomez and Morticia is like, that's relationship
it's
goals.
So good. Angelica Houston's incredible. Like the casting in this is great. Even like Lurch, we don't talk about Lurch enough, but he gets a bowling ball dropped on his head and he just keeps going.
And honestly, even the CGI on Thing is pretty good. It's very impressive, like for, you know, a 32-year-old movie.
I think the references are more dated than the visuals of these Addams Family movies.
Yeah, and there's less timely references in the first one.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to stay in spooky season next week as we continue talking about movies from 30 years ago. It's hard for me to believe that A Nightmare Before Christmas turns 30 years greater this month, Rob. So we will close out our 2-week spooky season extravaganza by going back to A Nightmare Before Christmas for 30 years greater. I cannot imagine this is a movie you have checked out more than once.
I my kids have had it on. I have actually never seen it in full. So I am looking forward to it.
Yeah. I candidly say, like, I'm like, part of me is like, how's the podcast going to be when it comes to A Nightmare Before Christmas? This is like a really loved movie. And like, what's going to be there to be like making fun of with this one? I don't know. I guess I'm underrating our takes on Oogie Boogie Man. I think we might have a lot to say about Oogie Boogie Man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's a very good movie. I think like I probably like a slightly bit less than a lot of people really like it. So we'll see how it goes. But Nightmare Before Christmas. We're going to see. Yeah. We're going to talk about
this. Is how this is all going to end. We're going to get canceled over The Nightmare Before
Christmas. No, God, no. Absolutely like not. Absolutely not. It'll be a planned break afterwards, but we're not canceled. That's the future that we're headed towards. Okay, Nightmare Before Christmas coming your way next week. Get ready for it. Make sure you're subscribed. 30 Years Greater, post show recaps wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube, postshowrecaps.com/YouTube if that is fun for you. Find us on the internet at Rand Howard, where you can find me, at Rob Sesternino, where you can find Rob, including all of the incredible amounts of things he's doing. Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, Daily Suits podcasting on top of it. Rob, you're in season 5 now, Chappelle told me.
We are just getting to season 5. So we're about
halfway there.
Yeah, today we're going to record episode 61 of, I believe, 134.
My gosh. Okay, well, you're getting...
almost to halfway.
Not quite halfway, but closing in on halfway. So congratulations on your near milestone there. Anything else going on, Rob?
What isn't going on? Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race. I'll be doing a bunch of challenge exit interviews. Okay. Not to mention everything else with Nothing But Netflix, Robin and Kevin's podcast, News AF.
So much.
Buddy Games.
Yeah. Podcasting every waking second of every waking day.
Almost. Almost.
That's the Gomez Adams of podcasting for you. All right. Well, to the Adams Family Values, we hope to see you again in 30 years, potentially for Adams Family Legacy, Nightmare Before Christmas, and everybody else. We will see you next week. Till then, take care. Goodbye.